Hello and welcome to Community Media's Open House. My name is Elida Murray and I'm the Executive Director of Adams County Children's Advocacy Center. And today I'm your Open House guest host. The Adams County Children's Advocacy Center is an independent nonprofit organization that serves all of Adams County. Our mission is to work towards a community where children are safe, families are strong, and our child victims can be children again. Our programs include teaching child abuse prevention programs to elementary school students and preschool and daycare students all across Adams County, while simultaneously supporting children and families who have suffered the trauma of child abuse through forensic interviews, medical exams, trauma therapy, and psychoeducational support groups. So for us, as an organization who every day supports children who have experienced trauma, it's important to us to also support and promote organizations in Adams County whose activities help children to build resilience, to learn, to grow, and to be well. Today, we are proud to highlight the great work of Adams County Head Start and to welcome Jennifer Showers, Executive Director, Kate Parachek, sorry about that, who is a Head Start parent, and Amy Giese, who is a head teacher. So we're just going to talk about Head Start and how all of this works together to grow great kids. So maybe, Jennifer, you could get us started. Just tell us a little bit about Head Start.
We would love to. Thank you for having us. So May, the month we're currently in, marks the 59th birthday of the Head Start program. It started in 1965 as a part of President Lyndon B. Johnson's War on Poverty and has served over 38 million children since then. In Head Start, or in Adams County here, we have had a Head Start program since 1982. We are federally funded through the Department of Health and Human Services, the Administration for Children and Families, and our main goal is to provide a comprehensive program with the goal of promoting children's development through early learning, health, family well-being, while engaging parents as partners every step of the way. Our main goal, of course, is to prepare children for school and for life. We serve eligible children ages 3 up to school age and their families at no cost to the families. Adams County Head Start specifically has 10 classrooms throughout the county. We are located in Biglerville, McSherrystown, Gettysburg, New Oxford, York Springs, Ortana, and Littlestown. And we are currently funded to serve 198 children and their families. Our classrooms operate for 170 days each school year, 6 hours per day, and we provide breakfast, lunch, and snack each of those days.
So really, it's just a great all-around program for young children, like you said, ages 3 to before, starting kindergarten, correct?
Yes.
And what would you, how could you tell us, how did you get involved in Head Start?
So I've been involved in Head Start since 1996. I was a college student at Penn State working on a degree in human development and family studies and did a job shadow and an internship with Adams County Head Start. Once I graduated, I applied and I actually started as an assistant teacher for a few years and a head teacher. Then I moved into supervising the teachers as the education coordinator. And since about 2016, I've served as the executive director. So it's kind of a passion.
A life's work,
obviously.
A life's work,
and once you are in Head Start and you drink the Kool-Aid per se and learn, what we do for children and families here in the community, it's it takes a piece of your heart, and it's a place that's hard to leave.
I started out my college career thinking I was going to be a child psychologist, and came to find out that maybe I would be a better administrator, so that's the route I took. But early childhood education is fascinating, and honestly, preschoolers are fascinating. They're just amazing kids with all kinds of different perspectives. So when you think about it from that perspective, as someone who has a responsibility for well-being of these kids, mental well-being, but also just their health and wellness for very young children, have you learned any tips that might help kids build resilience that their parents can do at home, or we can just as a community understand that piece for young kids, how important it is for them to feel safe and have resilience?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we see these children and, you know, Amy's with them every single day, and they seem so old to us. And then we have to remember they're only 3 years old or 4 years old, and they've just left their families for the first time probably ever. And so it's really important for us, first and foremost, to have a positive, safe, and nurturing environment. So children need to have stable, positive adults in their life to be able to be comfortable and feel safe and ready to learn. So that's one of the huge things that, you know, we really strive for. We teach a lot of social emotional skills and self-regulation. So teaching children how to name their feelings and how to manage their emotions and some tactics to go through, breathing exercises and different things so that they can, you know, calm themselves down if they're feeling a certain way. Consistency is a huge thing for children in preschool. So we have consistent routines, rules, schedules, and we follow those each day as closely as we can because they come to expect that. And when you change your schedule or your routine, you know, midweek or midday, and it's not what they're expecting, that can really throw some children off. So we try to stay as consistent as we can. Another thing in Head Start that we really take a lot of pride in is our health and nutritional part. We, you know, do screenings on all of the children at the beginning of the year to check their eyes, their ears, make sure they're up to date on immunizations and physicals. We do lead screenings, hemoglobin screenings, because if children aren't healthy, they're not feeling well, they can't learn.
Yep.
So that is a huge part. Additionally, another huge part of what we do is our family component. So we have family engagement staff who work with each family to assess what strengths a family has and what opportunities they have to grow. And they work together to set goals, so whether that is to find secure housing, whether it's to get a GED or learn English, our family engagement staff are there to support them throughout the process.
Because strong caregivers, be it parents,
yes,
whoever that child's caregivers are, the stronger they are, the better the outcome for that child.
Yes.
So thinking about it from a whole family perspective,
yes,
just makes all kinds of sense.
Absolutely.
I was really interested in what you were saying about, you know, when children feel safe, they learn better. When children feel that there's a structure and there's stability, that they learn better. And I think that all goes to what I opened with in terms of talking about resilience, how resilience to what might be a negative instance or an experience or something happening in a family's or a young child's life, that resilience is a help for them in how they're going to be able to respond to that. So as a community, the more that we can surround these children and frankly the whole family with supports to help them be the best that they can absolutely be, that's that resilience building. And I see that, and we're, you know, if those of you know us at this Children's Advocacy Center, we're really big on prevention. We're doing prevention ed for 5,000 children a year. But that is another form of prevention, developing resilience. So that's why I was really invested in being able to have this conversation with you guys about how all of those pieces work together. If I might, Kate, let me ask you, what has it been like for your child and your family in Head Start?
It's been absolutely fantastic. I couldn't ask for a better program for my kids. They've learned so much. At the beginning of last year when my first son started going, he couldn't talk. He said, like, he would go, eh, for things, mm-hmm, and he couldn't tell me what he wanted. Well, in the middle of last year is when he really started talking because he needed to be around other kids, and he was also getting the help he needs from teachers also.
Right.
They gave me the opening for LIU to come in and help him with speech, and which I wouldn't have known what to do at home for him to help him. So without Head Start, I don't think he'd be ready for kindergarten next year. With Head Start, I fully believe he is absolutely ready to go, and he's used to that routine of in the morning going to school, I pick him up, we go home and do whatever, but he knows where he's got to go. He knows the rules there, and
he knows what to expect.
Yes, exactly.
So kindergarten is not going to be a big scary thing,
no,
right? Because
right,
he knows, okay, this is what school is like, and school is great, so why won't I have a great time?
Yes, and he's getting that interaction with the other kids
right,
that we can't really get at home because we don't have many kids his age to play with at home.
Right.
So again, without Head Start, he wouldn't have got that interaction that he needed to go into kindergarten.
And not to put words in your mouth, but I imagine what you said is just the growth and the change in a few short months was mm-hmm. probably like, oh my gosh,
yes.
overwhelming amount of change.
And the change from last year to this year is outstanding. I couldn't have asked for so much change in such a short little time with the teachers working with him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
hard on to be able to help and help me learn how to help him too, because I also didn't know how to help him either.
Mm-hmm. And Jen talked a little bit about feelings. I was at the Gettysburg Rec Park this weekend. If no one's ever gone out to the farmer's market on a Saturday, you really got to go because it's awesome. But I was out at the farmer's market and there was a young family with probably a 2.5-year-old who was kind of having a tough morning. And I heard the father say, wow, you are having some big feelings. And I wanted to kind of cheer for that dad because I'm like, yes, A, you're acknowledging that kids have big feelings mm-hmm. and they don't necessarily always know how to communicate them. And the best that we can do as adults is to help empower them to say in different ways and learn over time how to express themselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that goes towards that resilience piece. If you know you're upset, or if you're feeling, you have a feeling that's upset, if no one helps you learn that it's okay to talk about that, or even to put a word on that, mm-hmm. how are you ever gonna be able to overcome whatever comes your way?
Right.
So whoever that dad was out there, I wanna give you a big shout out and say you did an awesome job, so. Amy, when we talk about big changes in the classroom, can you kind of share some experiences that you've had as a Head Start teacher?
Well, there's a lot of big changes in the classroom, especially from the beginning. Beginning of the year, it's really just trying to get everyone used to the routine, everyone just getting used to being away from their parents, because we're the first people that they're with outside of their parents most of the time. So then we do family-style meals, so it's teaching them how to serve themselves. It's a lot teaching them how to use a bathroom on their own. And now we're getting to this point in May, and we just put the bowls down on the table, and they know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, they're passing it. They're asking each other. That's one of the big components for us is just them learning how to communicate with each other in a positive way, or how to ask for things. Because, you know, at home, when they're with their parents, they don't have to ask for things because their parents know
right.
what they want.
Right.
So when they come to us, then it's just teaching them how to ask for things appropriately or being kind to the other kids in the classroom, how to say something if they want to play. One of the big things for me is just that social-emotional piece of just being able to play together and talk with each other. Because mm-hmm. when they're at home with their siblings, that's not always the kindest way to talk to each other because they're with each other all the time.
And their siblings.
And their siblings.
That kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, so then when they come to us, then it's just teaching them, you know, can I play with you? Or when you're done, can I have this? Like, it's those big changes that you see, like, from the beginning where they're like, grabbing a toy from somebody, to now where they're like, oh, okay, they're going to play with this, and then I can play with it next. Or just asking for things and communicating, just getting them ready for kindergarten.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, like, let's just, like, think about three. Three is, you're not a baby. You know, and as parents, we know how to generally parent a baby because it's about meeting their needs. And you have to sometimes, of course, there's a lot of interpretation. Like, you have to figure out what the need is because they're still nonverbal or whatever, but they're cries and you can, you know, you get into a rhythm where you can kind of figure that out. But as they become toddlers, and especially 2.5 to 3 on average, that's when they're starting to exert their independence, and you want that. But at the same time, often independence comes without really having developed the social skill set yet to be able to do that in a way that makes sense. That's why we have meltdowns. Well, I still have meltdowns. But that's why we have meltdowns in the 2s and the 3s, because there's like, there's so much going on inside and I can't get it out unless I scream.
Yeah.
And so that, seeing it in a classroom setting where they can, not just they're getting some support and instruction from teachers, but from their peers. Mm-hmm. Like, on any given day, some peer's going to be in a better space than others, right? And so they're all going to learn from each
yes.
other. What do you think, if I might ask Kate, what do you think is the most exciting thing that's happened for your child in his time at Head Start?
The growth.
The growth. Wonderful.
I can't, like I said earlier, the change in him, which really needed to be done, just amazes me every day. He's learning new things, and I wish I could show you from before he started Head Start to now, because it would blow your mind. because I can't believe that's my son now compared to 2 years ago when he couldn't talk. He didn't know how to play with children. He didn't know how to express his feelings. He really didn't know how to do anything. You said the meals, didn't know how to do that. No. And I was a young mom also when I had him, so I didn't know what steps to take either, and he was my first. So the growth is just, I could cry thinking about it because
he's so important. I was a young mom too, and I get it. Like they don't send you home with a manual, right?
Right.
You're like, okay, here I am, here we go. And especially with my first, my first is a girl, and we didn't have Head Start. But this is a funny story, so I'm going to share it with you. So she goes to kindergarten, and she was very shy. She's still a very introverted person, but she was very shy. And she came home, she's like, nobody wanted to play with me. And I'm like, well, Bree, how did this happen? What did you do? And she's like, well, I just kind of stood there, but nobody wanted to play with me. Now, she had two little brothers at home, and they were like their own little tribe, right? They had no issues with someone to play with. So that was a new skill that she needed to learn. And I didn't know as a young parent, I'm like, nobody loves my kid. Nobody wants to play with my child, right? That immediately you take that on as a parent, even though it's not accurate. But I didn't know what else to say, so I'm like, okay, Bree, so here's the deal. Tomorrow, when you go to school, I want you to ask at least 3 people if they want to play. And let's just see what happens, because I'm like, oh my gosh, what if this doesn't work, right? So she came home from school that day, and I'm like, so how did it go? And she's like, I only had to ask 2 people to play with me. But that whole skill development piece is something that's happening in Head Start just naturally. It's naturally occurring. And had she had that, she would have been way more prepared going into high school. kindergarten and high school is kind of the same, right? It's still a big lump.
Big transition.
Big jump in your life.
Yes.
But those are the kinds of things that we're empowering our kids. You know, we're teaching the appropriate levels of independence based on their age groups, but it's empowering them too to take take charge of the things that are important to them in their lives.
I would say, you know, that's a big part of what Head Start is. You know, we refer to parents as their child's first and most important teacher because they are. We have the kids 6 hours a day. They're with their families the rest. So in our home visits and in our parent conferences with families, we're talking about their development. We're giving activities that they can do at home and letting families know these things that they're doing. Our meals are very well balanced and lots of fruits and vegetables. And, you know, parents will be like, my child does not eat broccoli, but they do. They just have to be exposed to it over and over and see what the other children are doing. And, you know, I think a big part of what we do is also working with families and teaching them age-appropriate expectations and how to read with your child, how to play with your child, and giving them some of that knowledge.
Perfect. And that kind of leads me into the next question, maybe for you or Amy or even for you, Kate. What kind of activities or tips can you use in the classroom that you can help parents to do at home to build confidence or build social skills and that sort of thing? Are there activities that you do in that classroom that can be replicated?
Well, a lot of it for us is just that consistency, like having the parents at home having a set schedule as much as they can for the evening so their kids know what to expect. Also having that consistency of this is gonna happen, then this is gonna happen. Another social emotional piece would just be listening to your kids. Listening to what they're saying, because there is a lot of behaviors, there's a cause behind it. So it's getting to letting them sort through it, and then that way you can work from there. And that's what we do a lot in our classroom, is just listen, because through a lot of behaviors that we see, there's some cause behind it that we can get to the root of it and help them with it.
And I would just add, you know, providing them opportunities to learn new skills. And it's okay to make mistakes. So, you know, like Amy said, our children do family-style meals. We have a lot of spilling, a lot of dropped food.
Sure.
It's okay. It's okay.
Accidents
we
happen.
Teach you how to help us clean it up, and we go on, and you get better and better. You have to make mistakes before you can get good at something. And providing a lot of positive praise and encouragement. So it's very easy to quick point out, you know, what your child is doing that they shouldn't be doing. So in the classroom, we try to frame our directives very positively. So if someone's running across the classroom, oh, remember, we're going to use our walking feet inside, or we're going to use our inside voices. So instead of telling them what not to do, we want to give them, you know,
like a better direction.
A
like
better
here's
direction.
A better choice that you could be making.
Absolutely.
Right.
Give them small jobs. Mm-hmm. Make them feel important. So we have jobs in the classroom. So we have table setters. We have line leaders, teacher helpers, those kind of things. So let your child help match the socks up in the when you're doing laundry. Help them, let them set the table, things like that. Mm-hmm.
We had 15-minute pickup. So we literally put the timer on the stove and said, for 15 minutes, let's pick up everything we can pick up. And it actually, it worked like a charm. So because the person who got to, this is three kids under the age of five, I'm going to warn you. So whoever got the most things picked up got to be, and this is for people who have multiple children, you'll understand this, got to have the first pick of the dessert bowl, right? Because when you scoop ice cream, you just
yes.
have to make sure they're even, but they're never quite even. So those are the kinds of things that I think as parents, we get in the rush of our day and we don't think about, where is there an opportunity for me to insert something that's positive rather than, you know, like clean up your mess, right? Or
yeah.
let's do 15-minute pickup or whatever it can be that's a fun game with a reward. So, and because, you know, we live in a world where performance is measured, right? And I'm not going to make that like you must measure your three-year-old's performance, but also set them up for the reality that we all have to figure out how to get along with each other in order to succeed in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all have beautiful strengths, but we also have things that we're not necessarily as good at. And the more we can figure out how to work in a team, the more successful we're going to be.
Yes.
When we talk about that in terms of setting a child up for success, what should parents know about why Head Start is so important for setting their child up for success and well-being?
I would say first and foremost, our comprehensive nature. So we are spending a lot of our efforts and time on the education and preparing them school readiness-wise for kindergarten. So having the appropriate social skills, literacy, math, cognitive, but we're also looking at the whole child and the whole family. So we're assessing their health and making referrals and connecting them with resources if there are any issues that need to be dealt with. If children can't see, I think this year alone, we do vision screenings with the Lions Club. And I think we connected about 36 children with eye exams, and a lot of them have glasses as a result of that. That may not have been picked up before they went off to
definitely
kindergarten.
Definitely not, because what options are there? That's not something that standardly is a pediatrician, well, child visit.
Yeah, and we have some, you know, that pass those screenings, but then the screening that the Lions Club uses picks up some other anomalies, and then we can make the referrals out to ophthalmologists. I think the other really important piece is the support for the whole family. Parents are stressed, we understand that, so it sounds great to say, frame these things in positives, you know, reading with your children. Amy and I were talking about it on the ride here, you know, with shuttling kids here and there to everything. You know, I was a mom of three boys, and so we were constantly going somewhere, and a lot of times it's just easier to do things for them because you need to get out the door. But,
right.
you know, try to build in a few extra minutes to let them do some of these things, put their shoes on, put their coat on their own. But to also help connect our families with resources and social contacts. So children and families are much more resilient if they have a support system. And some of our families don't have family in the area, but they could make, you know, friends with another parent through parent committee meetings. Our family engagement staff host parent cafes for parents to sit and talk about ways to strengthen their own selves, which then carries over into the children. So, you know, like they say in the airplane, you have to put your mask on before
yeah.
you can help someone else. Parents have to take care of, you know,
of themselves.
Themselves and make sure that they're healthy and handling things.
Mm-hmm.
As best they can.
You know, and I think especially, not just for, but I think especially for when there are single parents or parents who are have shared custody, there's a lot of extra challenges, if you will, just in your everyday, managing your everyday life. I mean, it's not easy for any parents, but that
Correct.
Is especially hard then. And I think the more that we, you know, you are able to, like you suggested, like plan ahead a little bit so that your child can do certain things. Like if we can pack backpacks at night, we're not scrambling to find our shoes in the morning, because we've all been through that, right?
Yes.
Because shoes go in very interesting places. You just never know. But those are the kinds of things that I think that when there is a routine and a system and play at Head Start, sometimes I think kids replicate that at home on their own. Mm-hmm. And that, yes. How beautiful is that? That they're taking a skill that they learned and generalizing it back to their home environment, which is, I think, awesome.
They're teaching us.
Hallelujah. My kids have taught me practically everything. Yeah.
And I think through our teachers and our family engagement workers and their meetings with families can talk about how they can incorporate some of those things in at home. Mm-hmm. And something as simple as establishing a routine bedtime. Well, my child doesn't want to go to sleep until, 11 or 12 at night. But then they're groggy in the morning. They're not coming to school at their best. And so just helping families, set some of those boundaries and set those routines.
Yes. So if there are parents out there who are interested in Head Start, how does that work? How does the enrollment process work? What needs to happen?
So for Head Start, we do have an application process, and our eligibility is based off of the federal poverty guidelines. However, we encourage everyone, even if you think you're over income, we encourage you to still apply, because there are allowances for other factors, and we do accept some percentage of children and families who are over income. If you receive SNAP, TANF, or SSI, you are automatically eligible for Head Start, as well as foster children and families experiencing homelessness. So they are automatically eligible. We serve children with disabilities. We have a great partnership with the Lincoln Intermediate Unit, who will come out and screen and evaluate children in our program and provide speech language occupational physical therapy. So please check our website out. I know it's going to be on the screen. If you have questions, you can certainly call us. Our number is 717-337-1337. We can send you an application. You could stop at our central office at 705 Old Harrisburg Road in Gettysburg for an application, or complete one online through our website.
Amy or Kate, anything that you would like to share about Head Start and in terms of our closing and last comments?
I do want to say that I fully recommend Adam's Head Start with everything in me. It was the best thing for both of my children to go to, and I couldn't have asked for better teachers, better staff. Sorry, I didn't know what to call you. Yeah. But the stuff they teach my kids, I wouldn't have known to teach. The change has been incredible. And like I said earlier, my son's ready for kindergarten, and I don't believe that would have happened without them. The care that they have for the children in the room is amazing. My kids all talk about their teachers every day, and that shows just how much that my children love their teachers, because they show that care to them also. Ms. Jen said about the LIU and everything. They brought the resources, because I wouldn't have known what to do either. I didn't know an LIU existed around here, because I'm from Maryland, so I'm new to all the Pennsylvania stuff. I'm trying to think of, I have so much in my mind going at one time that I want to say.
We wanted everything you want to say.
As you're talking, we really celebrate the growth in our children, but we also celebrate the growth in our families. Mm-hmm. And knowing you from last year when you first came to our program, and now you're sitting here and doing this with us on TV, and to see the growth and the confidence in you is also something that we really celebrate. So
absolutely. I was very scared to send my first son to the Head Start in the first time. And now I have another son in there, and I'm not scared to send them at all. I'm like, you go ahead and be with your teachers and spend that time with them.
I think all of us who are mamas know how hard it is to send your babies into the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yes. Everyone in Head Start has shown us so much love and care that I couldn't have asked for more.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I just think that Head Start just helps everyone, the whole family. And I think that's makes Head Start really different from a lot of other programs, just because we are trying to be advocates for everybody in the family.
Yeah.
helping parents. There's many times that I get phone calls at the end of the day just asking, hey, this is happening at home. What do you think I should do? You know, just having that back and forth, that right. relationship with each other, and just seeing the success in the families. That's one of the things that I love the most about this job, is just seeing the success in them and the growth in all the kids, just from the beginning to the end, or if you've had them for 1 year or 2 years.
And I kind of keep going back to what I think, what we see when our prevention educators go out, for instance, into kindergarten classes. And you can tell night and day the children who have had an opportunity to go to some sort of a preschool environment mm-hmm. and learn some of those social skills, but also be able to get a sense of themselves as independent people outside of their family and have those relationships that might be outside of their family for the first time. Because part of us for prevention is just letting kids know that it's empowering, that they can say when they don't like something, and they can say when something is bothering them, and having the ability to just being validated that it's okay to say when you don't like something. Those kinds of things are really, really important to us in terms of preventing future abuse, but also just empowering kids to be their best selves. So I'm with you about Head Start, and I'm with you about quality preschool. This has been a great discussion. So, and we're so happy that you've shared so much about Adams County Head Start, the program, and all the important things you're doing for kids in our community. So thank you for what you're doing for kids in our community. And it's also been helpful to have you share tips for parents of small children, what they can do to build their kids' resilience and their education, empower them, and encourage their well-being. Because as they say, the first 5 years last forever.
Yes.
The first 5 years last forever. So thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us today.
Thank you.
So for our viewers, if you would like to know more information about Adams County Children's Advocacy Center, you can go out to our website, which is www.kidsagaincac.org. But most especially, for more information about Adams County Head Start, you can visit their website at www.ACHSACCESS. That's ACHSAccess.org. And learn more about all of the programming that they can provide for your child. And thank you. Have a great day.